This is the short edition of More or Less, first broadcast on the BBC World Service.
Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're the programme that fact-checks the numbers in the news and in life. I'm Tim Harford, and this week, James Fletcher's poked his big smiley face around the studio door. Hello, James. What have you got for me?
I've got a question for you. Which of these do you think has more literary merit? This?
What a piece of work is a man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculty.
Or this? I smoke all the mic like smoking Joe Frazier, the
Hellraiser, raising hell with the flavour. Well, to be honest, I've got a lot of time for both Shakespeare and hip-hop, but I'd be a bit shocked if school children stopped learning Shakespeare and started taking rap lessons, so I'm going to go for Shakespeare.
Well, Tim, I think that's a bit wishy-washy. This is more or less. I want to see the numbers. Where's your evidence base for saying Shakespeare is so great? Where is it? Come on.
I don't have it.
Well, here's a suggestion from a loyal listener in northern China.
Alex Wegerman, I've been an English teacher for many years now. Every year, I tell my students that Shakespeare had a larger vocabulary than any of us can ever aspire to.
Now, students everywhere are probably going to be familiar with this. Literary merit is very hard to quantify, but this is an exception, an objective reason why Shakespeare sits at the very pinnacle of English literature, that he had the largest English vocabulary of any writer in history. But Alex got in touch with us because he's worried.
I am usually greeted with many wise nods, but now I'm thinking maybe I've been lying all those years.
So what's caused Alex to lose faith?
Well, he saw a chart which was doing the rounds on the internet earlier this year, comparing the vocabulary sizes of various rappers. It was the brainchild of data scientist and hip-hop fan Matt Daniels, and while his main purpose was to compare the rappers to each other, he thought it would be good to throw in Shakespeare too.
So how do you go about comparing the vocabulary of Shakespeare and a bunch of rappers?
Well, Matt used a method called token analysis. That counts the number of unique words in any body of text that you feed into a computer program. He analysed the first 35,000 words of lyrics recorded by around 100 hip-hop artists, and for comparison, the first 5,000 words of 7 Shakespeare plays, so 35,000 words again. Matt ran the numbers and found one name at the head of the pack.
He was actually off the chart, like orders of magnitude higher, so that was eye-opening, and I should have readjusted the scale for him.
I really hope he's talking about Shakespeare.
You just know that he isn't, Tim. It's actually this guy. A pitch black lung and a purple heart. Then you kick back once the inertia starts. And when the shipwreck sunk through the perfect dark, the serpent's arch alerts every circle shark. That's Rickety Rackety, a track from a rapper called Aesop Rock.
Yeah, I know who it is. He's not a mainstream star. He's got a loyal underground following, but what about Shakespeare?
Not too bad, Tim. I'm impressed by the infinite variety of your knowledge. Shakespeare doesn't do too badly. He does come out ahead of most of the big mainstream stars like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z or Kanye West. They're all back in the pack behind Shakespeare. The size of his vocabulary puts him in the top quarter, but barely. Shakespeare had 22 rappers ahead of him, and they're mostly these more underground rappers.
Well, I can see why our listener Alex is worried, but hang on, can you actually just grab 35,000 words from everyone, bung them in a computer and name the winner?
Fair enough question. I asked Matt if it's fair to compare Shakespeare to the rappers this way.
It's not quite apples to apples. Shakespeare is writing prose often. In hip-hop, you're obviously writing song lyrics. There's much more slang in hip-hop. So it's not a direct comparison, and to get it actually methodologically bulletproof and publishable in like a linguist journal would take probably years of data cleaning. And again, I wanted this to be fun and really a side project versus a scientific analysis.
Well, we're all in favour of fun, but this is the reputation of the bard that's at stake here, James. So this has got to be rock solid. I want a second opinion, please.
Well, in that case, I think it's time to talk about Stylometrics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Another hip-hop group, yeah.
I think I just flushed you out there, Tim. Not quite the hip-hop fan you claim to be. Stylometrics is a field of literature studies, and it uses computers and data analysis to tell us things about literary styles. So, for your second opinion, I went to Professor Hugh Craig. He's director of the Centre for Linguistic and Literary Computing at the University of Newcastle in Australia.
Yeah, they did the right thing by taking exactly, I think it's 35,000 words, blocks of 35,000 words for each of the candidates. That's a good way to do it.
Now, it turns out that this technique has had an impact in Shakespeare studies as well. The reason people thought Shakespeare used so many more unique words than anyone else is that a relatively large amount of his work survives, and people were simply counting all the words in his entire output. But a couple of years ago, Hugh Craig used a broadly similar technique to Matt Daniels to analyse Shakespeare's vocabulary, and he came up with a surprising result.
If you take six plays by Shakespeare and six plays by a group of his contemporaries, maybe Christopher Marlowe, Ben Jonson, John Fletcher, and so on, Shakespeare comes out as just a little bit below the average.
Oh, brilliant. Really? Really? All these years we've been told Shakespeare had a huge vocabulary, and actually it was just that lots of his plays survive.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's strange that people are so keen to find some objective proof of Shakespeare's greatness, and you can see the same urge in the responses to Matt Daniels' hip-hop chart too. People are desperate for evidence that this rapper is better than that rapper. These new sophisticated analytical tools really tempt us to believe that there must be a number out there that proves the greatness of someone like Shakespeare. But Hugh Craig says he hasn't found such a number yet. And for rappers as much as for Shakespeare, vocabulary is of limited use.
Using an awful lot of different words in your plays isn't necessarily such a wonderful thing. If you use different languages within a play, if you bring in lots of technical terms, you'll sort of increase your vocabulary. And that might be actually tedious to listen to if you're in the audience. It's not necessarily of itself and by itself a sign of literary quality.
Now it's time for our wrap-up.
It makes sense when you think about it. Tim, can you name a book which might have the highest number of unique words?
Words like billabong and dinkum and so on. Yeah, the Oxford English Dictionary.
That's a low blow, Tim. But you're exactly right. Who would ever read a dictionary cover to cover? I mean, what could be more boring than a list of words in alphabetical order? Casualties cancelling, cats got their canopies collapsing. Detonated dime a tank daily doing dope. Demonstrations, Don Dada on the down low. Eating other editors with each and every energetic. That's the rapper Gift of Gab there, who incidentally rates above Shakespeare on Matt Daniels' charts with a track called Alphabet Aerobics. But perhaps I should give the last word to our English teaching listener, Alex, in China.
A horse, my kingdom for a horse sounds much better than a hoe, my kingdom for a hoe. I think it would be difficult to measure the quality of the vocabulary, and if all there is quantity, maybe this is much ado about nothing.
It's not the words you know, it's what you do with them that counts. Thank you, James. Now, just time to dive into the postbag with Ruth Alexander. And Ruth, after last week's programme about the charity ice bucket challenge that so many people around the world have been doing, a number of listeners have let us know they agreed with our analysis, which is cheery.
Yes, they liked the idea of choosing to give their donation to a charity where there was evidence that you could help the largest number of people for each dollar you gave.
But not everybody liked this approach.
They didn't, including Jenny, who emailed to say that giving to charity is a personal matter. She says it's prompted most often by definition, by personal experience or emotion, not by mathematics. It's an area where mathematics cannot go, she says. I found it presumptuous, superfluous, distasteful, and verging on the obscene to try to slot charity giving into a sort of supermarket best value lineup. Some things transcend pure calculation and profit, I hope.
Well, thank you, Ruth, and thank you, Jenny, for writing in. We always like to hear your comments, whether you agree or disagree with what we're doing. Our email address is moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Our website is bbcworldservice.com/More or less. Until next week, goodbye.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.